She wants me to sing.
I know she does. And I know yours.
What do you want? I can sing it later.
You sing it later?
I'll sing it later.
Okay.
We'll sing it for Richard Crawford.
All right.
That way he can get it.
That's good.
Yeah, you can sit. Sit. I'll be singing so bad, everybody will say, boy, that's the best preaching I ever heard, and he gets through.
Oh, my goodness. See, that pastor of this church just messed me up again. I said, well, he swapped us off Tuesday night. And I said, then I preached first last night. I said, he'll swap us off tonight. I'll be last. And I was sitting back there saying, oh, I'll just get to enjoy Preacher Paul preaching, and then I'll get up there. And it'll probably get on while Preacher Paul's preaching, and then I won't even be preaching tonight. We'll just shout a while and go to the house. And here I am. You promise?
That's one which I guarantee.
Okay. All right, I got to do something before I read my text, before I even tell you what my text is, okay? We'll do something. I got to do something, okay? I got to look at the clock first, okay? I look at the clock. What is that crazy preacher up to? What is that crazy preacher up to right now? Oh, my. All right.
Well, hallelujah. I didn't get no supper before I come. Why are you cooking me coffee?
Hallelujah. Cloth napkins. I don't know how often Preacher Paul gets to go eat at a place that has cloth napkins, but I'm telling you, that's a rarity at my house. Uh-huh. All right, let's see. What am I missing? What am I missing? Y'all ready? Here we go. Here we go. I'm about ready to read my text. I better put this crown right here. Don't want it on his plate. That's the king's table, okay? Open your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter number 9, please. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. I'm going to read at least 10 verses. I may read all 13.
You say chapter 1, brother?
2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. I may have said chapter 1, preacher. I'm so tore up inside right now. That's why I don't eat before I preach. Let's read it together. Everybody that can, and would you stand up for just a minute? That way you'll get a good look at the king's table tonight. Okay? The king's table. And David. Let's stop for just a second. In this passage we're going to read about tonight, David is the king. Okay?
And you know, if you've been to church any, you heard it said 100 times, David, and many times in the Bible, is a picture of the Lord and Savior. It's a picture. Okay? And we're going to read about it in that light tonight. Then we're going to read about another fellow by the name of Mephibosheth. And this Mephibosheth is a picture of that one that that's in need of somebody to deliver them from the bondage and the place that they're in. It's a picture of us, the sinner, that needs redemption. I want to read about it tonight, and then I'm going to try to preach on it for just a little while. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him, and David the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? He said, Thy servant is he. Ziba in this passage is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And the king said unto him, Where is he? Oh, wait a minute, verse 3. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Has ever dawned on you that when the Lord Jesus left heaven and came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins, he was actually showing us the kindness of God? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. The king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Macher, thy son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Macher. I'm so glad for the day when the King of Glory sent the Holy Spirit to fetch me.
Ooh, pray God.
To fetch me, to bring me to the king.
Amen.
Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Until you see yourself the way Mephibosheth saw himself, my friend, you will not know what it is to know God. Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. You can be seated. Let's pray. Father, I never come to this passage of Scripture thinking that I deserve to preach it, that I'm an authority, Lord. There's so many times I have avoided this Scripture in preaching because of the great men of God that have preached from this passage in times gone by. Lord, I come tonight, Lord, with fear that I might not do justice to Thy Word. Please illuminate my mind, Lord. Lord, I don't want to be cute. Lord, I don't want to be trite, Lord. I want to be on target tonight. Please fill me with Holy Spirit power. Give me the ears of Your people, Lord, and help me to preach and get out of the way so Brother Paul can come. Preacher Paul, one of the greatest men of God I have ever known in my life, is going to follow me tonight. And I want You just to bless him mightily. And so I don't want to get in any of the way. Lord, tonight, help me to be Your servant. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Look back with me for just a moment to verse 11. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, now the king breaks in here, you understand. He interrupts Ziba when he's talking. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. I want to preach tonight on this thought. When the king says, set another place at my table. See, he's going to be sitting at the king's table. Do you know that there's a promise in the Bible that says that's going to happen to you and I? When the king said, set another place at my table.
Amen.
I'll say it one more time. When the king says, set another place at my table. There's some things that just thrilled my soul when I read through this passage. And I read about this fellow by the name of Mephibosheth. And I want you to see these things in this passage. I want to read the first three verses one more time. And then I want to skip down and read a couple of more verses. But it says in verse 1 that David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called unto him, unto David the king, said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. Verse 10. Thou therefore, David speaking, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then says Ziba unto the king, according to all the Lord my king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth. Let's talk about Mephibosheth for a minute. According to verse number 3, Mephibosheth is lame. That means he can't walk. You see, when he was just a little boy, about 5 years old, the enemy had invaded the land, and the nurse grabbed up Mephibosheth and was running away with Mephibosheth, and she dropped him, and when she dropped him, he became permanently lame.
Right.
He was disabled. He became disabled. And the king is looking for him. And Ziba, the first words out of his mouth, he says, now he has a son, Jonathan has a son named Mephibosheth, but I want you to tell you something about the king, about Mephibosheth king. He's lame on his feet. He can't walk. And the king acted like he didn't even hear him. Well, the king said, let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go down there and you're going to get Mephibosheth and you're going to bring him up here. And when you get him up here, you're going to set him a place at my table and Mephibosheth is going to sit at my table. Now, I can imagine that Ziba was about to say to the king, well, king, he's lame. And the king interrupted him. The king said, as for Mephibosheth, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. What's the point, preacher? When the king says, set a place at my table, your disabilities do not matter. You're sitting here tonight and some of you are saying, I can't do this and I can't do that. Why would God want me anyway? Why would he look down on me, smile down on me? Why would he send his servant after me? Why would he want to show me the love of God? I'll tell you why. Because your disability does not matter. We got Mephibosheth. He's not able to walk, right? Number two, he's not able to work. He's got all these servants going to go out and work for him because he can't work. Number three, you know what the responsibility of his king's son is when there's a battle going on? He's supposed to grab his sword and go out with the king and fight the battle. But we got a fellow by the name of Mephibosheth that he can't walk and he can't work and he can't wield a sword in his hand.
Right.
But that didn't matter to the king. Because the king saw somebody that he wanted to show the love of God to. He heard about somebody that he wanted to reveal the love of God to. And he sent after him and fetched him and said, I want him to sit on my table. And somebody said, well, he's disabled. He can't help much. He can't do much. He'll never be able to fight a battle, king. He'll never be able to work in the field, king. He'll never be able to walk, king. And the king said, shut your mouth. I have chosen him as one of my sons. And so he's going to sit at my table as one of the king's sons. And his disability does not matter.
Hey, you're right.
I'm telling you tonight, you may consider yourself disabled. I consider myself disabled. I'm crippled too high for crutches. But God said, hey, there's somebody down there I love. There's somebody down there I want to be a part of my family. There's somebody down there I want to sit at my table. I want you to go get him. And the Holy Spirit came knocking on my door and said, the king wants you. The king wants you. I said, but I'm disabled. I can't do nothing for the king. It don't matter about your disability. The king wants you to sit at his table. Let's look on. Verse 2. Let's go to verse 4. And the king said, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he's in the house of Macher. That means the house of no bread. The son of Amiel and Lodabar, the place of no bread. I should say Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Macher, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. So he wasn't handy. He wasn't just around the corner, Brother Jim. He was somewhere off in the distance.
Right.
But you know what? When the king says, set another place at my table, he don't care how far we are away from him. He don't care how deep into sin we've gone. He doesn't care if there's no bread down at our house. He doesn't care if we're wallowing in the muck and the mire because we can't stand on our own two feet. He does not care how bad it is. is in our life and how bad our situation is. He doesn't say, you get cleaned up and you come to where I'm at and then I might let you and my family know, sir. Our distance from him does not matter. He comes to where we are through the person of the Holy Spirit to bring us to where he is through the power of the love of God. So our disabilities don't matter to the King. The distance we are away from him doesn't matter to the King. I'm starting to feel a shout coming on, preacher.
Yes, sir.
I'm about to get excited. I'm just about to get beside myself. I might jump over this wall tonight. Wouldn't be the first time I've jumped a wall like that. Look at verse 6. I'm telling you, this every time I read this passage, you just don't know, folks. You sitting on that pew, you just don't know what it does for me when I put myself in the place of Mephibosheth and I see how much the King loved me and how much the extent he would go to bring me into his family and to set me at his table. I'm saying to you, our disabilities don't matter. Our distance from him does not matter. Now verse number 6.
Yes,
I believe it is. Verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. Will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt be bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? I'll say a couple of things. It would be real easy. It'd be real easy for a lame man to fall on his face. That'd be easy, wouldn't it? Don't take no effort for a lame man to fall on his face. But I want you to imagine this now. Are you with me? I'm lame. I'm lame. I want you to see this now. I'm going to read this verse again to you. The second part of this verse says, verse 6, and he... he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. Verse number 8, and he bowed himself. I'm lame, okay? I'm lame. Let me get down here and be lame first. Okay? If I'm lame, I have no use for my legs. Is that not correct? So if I'm going to bow before the King, something has got to happen that wouldn't happen. I mean, if I wasn't lame, I could just get on my knees, couldn't I? But I'm lame. So what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to take all the strength of my arm and grab a hold of my pants and pull my leg up. And then I'm going to have to reach back and grab my other leg and grab my other pants. In order to bow.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't an easy thing for him to bow. Sometimes it's not an easy thing for us to bow.
Right.
But it's an important thing,
yes,
that we bow. Amen. Before the King.
Yes.
Now let's go back. Verse number 8. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? I don't know if you've ever had to deal with a dead dog. You ever had a dog die? I tell you, I had a border collie, and she was the sweetest thing. And she was in our house, preacher, and she never jumped on the furniture. She just came and she'd lay right by my chair, and she would sit up like this, and I could just reach over and pat her on the head. And I loved her. And my wife loved her, and she was just such, she's the best dog we ever had. We got a little stinking dog now. She's the best dog we ever had. But border collies are territorial. They're used to, they learn what their property is, and they'll go and run around their property, and that's all they'll do. And then they'll come, and so we'd let her out the door. She'd run around the property. She'd have her business. She'd come back in the house. But one day, Brother Bill, one day our neighbors decided to cut down all the trees that surrounded our property. And when he cut down all those trees that surrounded our property, our little border collie lost her bearings. And when she went out that day, she wandered off our property into the highway. She got run over. Now, I had never had any problem playing with her and picking her up and giving her a bath at the house, you know, keeping her clean. But that day I had trouble picking her up because she was dead weight. You know, when people can't help you pick themselves up, they're just dead weight. And so here is a fella who has a disability, but that doesn't matter to the king. And here's a fella that is a great distance away, but that doesn't matter to the king. But here is a fella, the Bible says, that is dead weight. And David said, Mephibosheth's going to sit at my table. In other words, there was nothing he could contribute. There was nothing he could do to benefit the king's table. There was nothing he could do to benefit the church, if you please. There was nothing he could do. But the king said, I'm telling you, he may be dead weight, and you may think that he's not going to be an asset to the church. He's not going to be a help to the house of God. But I want him to sit at my table, so go get him. That's a pill for us to go get them all, regardless of what's going on with them. Look at verse 8 again. I'm trying to get through. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Now, is Mephibosheth dead? Is he literally a dead dog? No. But he has a bad disposition. His disposition is lousy. Because he looks like himself, brother, as if he's no good for nothing. He has a rotten disposition. You might not know anybody like that. And you may have never had a rotten disposition. I had one this morning when the weed eater broke. I had a rotten disposition. I said, God, all I'm doing down here in this ditch is trying to do something for the glory of God. And Lord, the weed eater broke. But you know what? The Lord said, maybe you need to take a break. And save it for later. When the king says, set a place at my table, your disabilities don't matter.
Right.
You being dead weight don't matter. Your distance from the king don't matter. And your disposition don't even matter. God don't care if you got a lousy attitude. God don't care if you mad as you mad at everybody and even mad at yourself. God just said, hey, I got my eye on you. I've heard about you. And I know where you're at. And I know you need some bread. And I know you need a change in your life. You need to experience the love of God. So I tell you what I'm going to do. Even though you got a bad disposition, I want you to come sit at my table.
Amen.
I'm so glad that I don't have to have a good disposition to sit at his table. I am so glad that I can sit at his table when I'm disabled. I went through 6 months, and Preacher Paul went through several months where you just felt like you just were totally disabled, not capable of doing anything that needed to be done.
Right.
I felt like I was dead weight to my wife and everybody in the church. I really did. I felt like I was just sucking the church life out of the church. God said, I tell you what, I don't care how you feel. I don't care about your disposition. I don't care about you being dead weight. I don't care how far away you are from me. I don't care about your disabilities. I want you to come have a seat at my table.
Amen.
We're about done. Notice something else. Verse 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I've given thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore, thy son, thy servant, shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring the fruits that thy master's son may have food. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Now, if you just read verse number 9 and 10, you might get a little bit confused because he said, I want you to go out and gather food so that the master's son, your master's son, can eat bread. But if you read verse 13, you find out who he's talking about. You find out the whole story. In the Bible, verse number 12, it says, and Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. So here's what happened. He said, Mephibosheth is going to eat at my table. But you're going to go out there and you're going to gather the crops out of the field and you're going to bring them in and you're going to sit them down so that Mephibosheth's son, Micah, will have food to eat. So you know what the point is? When the king says, set another place at my table, your dependents reap the blessing of God on your life.
Amen.
See, we forget sometimes. We forget that our life is going to affect our children and our grandchildren and our spouses. And sometimes our elderly parents that we take care of. We forget that those who depend on us, sometimes we forget that they're going to reap the benefits of God's blessing on our life. Huh? And just the opposite. When we yield to the devil, when we give in to the devil, our dependents are going to reap the burden that comes from us giving in to the devil when he comes into our life. Who we're talking about? King's table, aren't we?
Yes,
and the Bible says that when the king says, set another place at my table, our disability doesn't matter. Our disposition doesn't matter. Our distance from him doesn't matter. Us being dead weight doesn't matter. And our dependence will reap the blessings that we receive by sitting at the king's table.
Amen.
There's one more thing and I'm done. Something precious to me. I actually have two more things. I'm just going to give you one, I think. Look at verse 1. And then we'll skip down to verse 11. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Verse 3. And the king said, is there not any... yet any of the house of Saul that may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. Verse 12. Verse 11. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all my lord the king hath commanded thy servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. This is something that means a lot to me. If you look in your Bible and you begin to study the history of the kings, you will find out that Mephibosheth, of course, right here in this passage, is the grandson of King Saul. And he has a son named Micah. It was custom in that land that when someone took over a kingdom, like an enemy would come in and take over a kingdom, or somebody would overthrow the government and take over the king, they would go through and they would kill all of the heirs to the throne. They'd all be killed. because they had a direct link to the former king. But Mephibosheth's not going to be killed. And his son Micah is going to be cared for. So what has happened? Well, the king has said, set another place at my table. And when the king says, set another place at my table, our direct link to our former king doesn't matter.
Amen.
It doesn't matter that I'm of my father, the devil, because the King of Glory has set another place at my table.
Amen.
It doesn't matter that I did what the devil wanted me to do and I lived for the devil the way he wanted me to live because the King of Glory sent the Holy Spirit after me and the King of Glory wanted to show me the love of God and the King of Glory brought me into his family and set me at his table and he doesn't care about my past. He doesn't care about who I'm kin to. He doesn't care about who I'm linked up with. He just knows that he loves me so much that he's made a way for me to sit at his table.
Hey.
Oh, what if our direct link with the king, the former king, would have mattered? We would have never got to sit at the king's table. One more thing, I quit. I tell you, I'm about full of the Holy Ghost right now, ready to run. Woo! Verse 13, we quit. Two after. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat. Can anybody read that next word? Continually. At the king's table. And was lame on both his feet. Nothing had changed physically for Mephibosheth. But something had changed materially for him. Something has changed spiritually for him. He's sitting at the king's table. But that word continually means he just ate and ate and ate. When he wanted some more, he eats some more. And he eats some more. When he wants some more, he eats some more. Here's my point I'm through. When the king says, set another place at my table, your drain on the table does not matter. Some people require more from the king's table than others. Some people are always a constant drain on the king's table. They're always needing something. They're always wanting something. But it didn't matter to the king. He said, he shall eat. This is before he ever got there. He shall eat at my table continually. I'll never head back for just a moment. I ask you tonight, you that are sitting here that have trusted Christ as your Savior. Sister, please come to the piano. We'll just take just a moment to do this. Come to the piano. We're not going to sing anything. She's just going to play a couple of verses for me. I want to ask those who have trusted Christ as your Savior this question. Do you need to get out of your seat right now and get on this altar or up on this front pew and thank God that you have a place at the king's table? Then I ask anybody who's here tonight that's not sure of heaven, wouldn't you like to come tonight and take your preacher's hand and say, preacher, I'd like to get me a place at the king's table. I'd like to have a place at the king's table. Let's all stand on our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'll not drag this thing out. The preacher's got to come preach in just a few minutes. I've tried to just lay it out there for you. I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of God's people acting like they're his stepchildren, acting like they're not a part of the family. We ought to be thanking God tonight that we have a place at the King's table. Father, our sister's going to play another verse. Folk will have an opportunity to come if they want to. They don't, Lord, that's all right with me, Lord, just so I got the message out that you put on my heart's what matters. I pray again you'll anoint Preacher Paul as he comes tonight with a power, Lord, from on high that will change the lives forever. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Christ's name, amen. Folk are coming. Sister's playing.
Mind the Lord. Just want you to mind the Lord.
I'm glad for the day when I realized that the Lord had a place for me at his table. He didn't say go sit in the corner. He didn't say scrape by the best way you can and I might let you come visit me once in a while. No, he said come. Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, oh, everyone that thirsteth, let him come. He that had no money, let him buy. I'm so glad that the Lord invited me to his table. Have you obeyed him tonight?